Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
Good to be here with you, and thank you for coming. I'm going to read to you from Revelation chapter 21, and a neat thing happened. So I follow, a lot of times for preaching, I follow something called the lectionary, and it's got a schedule of four different readings that's assigned to each week. And this week's readings, one of them is Revelation 21, so I'm going to preach from that. But you'll notice in verse 6, it talks about a gift of water from the spring of the water of life, which matches right in with what Caravan has been talking about this year, and so that's why we're hearing from that this morning. From Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them, and he'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and to the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life.'" Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty and everlasting God, Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So this is actually one of my favorite sections of Scripture. I love this bit of the Bible. And I love it because of the promises that are found here. I don't know if you notice the promises that are found here. This is a vision that was given to John, and the vision is the end of all things, that we believe that someday that Jesus will come back, and there'll be, as it says, it's looking ahead to God making all things new. And it says God himself will wipe every tear from their eyes, that there'll be no more death, no more sickness, no more pain. And can you imagine that? I love those verses, that someday there'll be no more death, no more sickness, no more pain, and that someday that God will make all things new. And I think in the midst of stuff that we go through, and in the midst of brokenness or hurt or heartache, it's just such a wonderful promise to hang on to, that God someday is going to make all things new. And today, like I said, I want to focus on what we find in verse 6, where it says, "To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." And so we're going to talk about living water today, because the Caravan theme was living water, so we're going to look at living water. And so it's kind of neat because Anne got the kids a present this week. I don't know if you can tell what this is. It's kind of cool. Yeah, it's a squirt gun. Isn't that neat? It actually has water in it, and it works. I don't know if that was... You thought, he won't do that. And it's pretty cool. I thought, you know what would make this even better? Well, I want to show you a video. If you think, you may think, well, can you squirt guns in church? And Anne let me. This one, I practice my sermon every week for my wife before, and this one slipped by the censors this week, so that was good. I want to show you something, though, that's even more extreme than this, and it's an Orthodox church celebrating Epiphany. Epiphany happens in January, and it's one of the things we remember on Epiphany is the baptism of Jesus. And so to do this, we've got this video I want to show you of the celebration of the baptism of Jesus. So let's go ahead and try and play this. So he's dipping, this would be hyssop, into the baptismal waters there.
Thank you.
You can see it's not just a little water. It's... And you're not safe out there in the congregation either. All the way to the back, so you can't even hide in the back. So the reason I love that, you couldn't get out of that worship that morning without getting water on you, right? So this is, it's a celebration of the baptism of Christ. And the thing I love about it is our faith is not a passive faith. It's not a like sit back in the safety of things kind of faith. It gets sloppy and you get wet. And one of the things, the message that is being said there is the baptismal waters of Christ are for you. Like you can't leave worship without the baptismal waters of Christ hitting you. Like it applies to you. It's a very personal thing. This water touches you. It's living water. The stuff that Jesus did impacts you. And there's not like hiding from it or you know, being stay away. No, the waters get you. I love that. I love that symbolism, that imagery. There's a Roman Catholics will do holy water and they'll go out and they'll get you with that, right, as they go through. I read an article where there was a Roman Catholic priest in Mexico who loaded up a squirt gun full of holy water. And sprayed his congregation, in part to protest the gun violence in his community. And I want you to think about that symbolism. He's protesting the gun violence in his community by spraying people with holy water. Now that symbolism only works if the holy water represents something. It is the living water. It represents life and the life that God gives us. And so it's symbolizing life. See, water is this powerful symbol throughout Scripture. It's this powerful thing that God uses to show what's going on. And so we're just going to kind of briefly look through water in Scripture. And actually, I have our little baptismal font up here and some water. So we remember way back in the beginning, in Genesis, well, Genesis 1:1 starts with, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void. And then in 1:2, it says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters in creation, which is a reminder that God created you. God created you. In our baptism liturgies, in the prayers that we do for baptisms, we had a bunch of baptisms on the Saturday before Easter. It was awesome. And part of the prayers in that is we remember that when Jesus came, he was nurtured in the water of his mother's womb. As were all of us, we were nurtured in the water of our mother's wombs. And so this is a reminder that water is in creation of the world and in creation of you. You are a creation of God. The water reminds us you are a part of God's good creation. Now, I don't know what people have told you about yourself. Sometimes we have things, names we're called, or things that are told about us, sometimes even from childhood, that stick with us for the rest of our lives, which is one of the things where it's so important that we do children's ministry so that these kids hear some things, you know, hear some adults and some people saying some words of truth to them, because some of those hurtful things we hear from childhood can carry through the rest of our lives, can't they? And so I don't know what you've heard or what kind of identity stuff you have going on, but you need to know this as far as your identity. You are a good creation of God. The water reminds us. It's the living water that God created you and God loves you. That's your identity. You're intentionally made and loved by our Creator God. Well, then the Bible story goes on. And not only God created, but then God calls a people, Israel, to be a part of God's rescue plan. And the problem was Israel got enslaved by Egypt. Egypt was a world power at the time. And so God is going to rescue his people, Israel, by having them pass through the sea. And so God brings them through the sea. They were enslaved to Egypt, but they passed through the waters to be set free, to be rescued. And so that reminds us not only is did God create you, but God wants to rescue you. God wants to set you free. Now, you and I, we might not be slaves to other countries or something like that. It's not like Canada has invaded and kind of made us a colony of Canada or whatever. We don't have that sort of thing going on, but we are enslaved to sin. The Bible points that out. We're slaves to sin. You think, well, I'm not a slave to sin. Have you ever done something even though you knew it was wrong? Anybody ever had that happen to them? Yeah, thank you. The rest of you are dirty liars. I'm glad you're in church. You need to get this water out again. Yeah, we've done things. So it's not like a head problem, it's a heart problem. We've got a problem. We've got a sin problem. We're enslaved. Have you ever done something you knew was wrong even though it hurt other people or hurt yourself? Have you even done something you didn't want to do, but you ended up doing it anyway because you gave in to sin? See, the Bible would say that we're enslaved to sin. What does God want to do? God wants to set you free. Israel passed through the waters to be set free. The water reminds this living waters. The water reminds us that God wants to set you free. When Jesus died on the cross, they pierced him in the side to see that if he was dead. And when they did, what came out? Well, blood and water. Blood and water flowed out. There's actually a scene in Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ where the centurion pierces Jesus, and blood and then water comes out, and water comes out onto the centurion. And it's what's being shown there is a type of baptism. I mean, that's part of, within that story, is a turning point for that particular character. It's water from the side of Christ. So that water from the side of Christ reminds us this, that Jesus made a sacrifice for us. Jesus died for our sins. That stuff that gets a hold of our heart where we do things we don't want to do, even though do things that we know we shouldn't do, it reminds us how much God loves us. God so loved us that he sent his son to die for us. So again, this water, it's living water. It shows us God's salvation for us in Jesus Christ. The water was living water. The Bible then, it'll talk about water within baptism. So in baptism, baptism is one of the things that as Christians we do for several reasons. We do baptism because it's a sign of the new covenant, this promise that God has for us. It washes us of our sins. The Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, works in a powerful way in baptism. Baptism connects us to Christ, and baptism connects us to the body of Christ, or the church. And then there's these really powerful verses on baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 4, it says, "Don't you know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into death." And you think, well, that's kind of a bummer thus far, right? You've been baptized into Christ's death. But then it says, "So that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life." Do you hear what's being offered to you? As through these waters of baptism, this new life is being offered to you. We're being connected by some mystery to Jesus Christ, but through the waters of baptism to Jesus, and in Jesus we're given new life. The waters of baptism are living water. And then you go all the way to the end of the Bible, to Revelation 21, and we read today's scripture, which tells us this promise, where it says, "To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Again, as I said, as Christians, we believe that one day Christ will return and will finally and fully repair all things. That one day Jesus will return to sort things out. And that's where the part about, and God will, he will be their God and they will be his people. And God will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sickness, no more crying, no more pain. And the one on the throne will make all things new. These are amazing promises. I love these promises. I think they're so important. In the midst of, I know that there are those of you who are in the midst of mourning and of grief. There are those of you who are in the midst of sicknesses, cancer diagnosis. Do you know that someday there will be no more cancer? Isn't that a good thing? Someday the last person will have died. Someday there'll be no more mourning or grieving. Someday all of that brokenness will be gone. Someday Jesus Christ is going to return and say, "Enough. It's done." And he'll make all things new. There'll be no more sickness or crying or pain. death will be no more. What a wonderful promise. That's why we hold on to it. And then just to kind of hammer that home, we have in verse 6, and it says, and everyone there will be given water from the spring of the water of life. They'll get living water. Living water, that's another way of saying death will be no more, isn't it? That's another way of saying that. Where all things are whole and made new, this living water. I don't know what challenges you face today. I don't know what heartaches or sorrow you bring with you, but know this, it will not last forever. There will be a day when there are no more sorrows. There will be a day when there are no more sorrows. There will be a day when there is no more heartache and no more pain. And on that day, God has for us this living water. What a beautiful promise. This is why it's one of my favorite parts of the scripture. And that's why we splash at church, or why we can splash at church, because the living water is meant for us to dive into. It's meant to be involved and engaging you. It's meant to be, you're supposed to be hit by this. You're supposed to be affected by this. The work of Jesus Christ affects you as personal, wherever you are, wherever you're seating. That's why the priest went all the way to the back of the church and got all those people too, right? You're supposed to splash into this living water. It's the grace of God and life from God, and it gets all over us and covers us. And once you get hit by that living water, you want to spread it around. That's why so many people have volunteered to help out a caravan. There's so many people it takes to make that go. There's so much work it takes to make it happen. Why would anyone in their right mind do that? It's because they were loved by God and want to share that love with these kids so that these kids know they're loved by God, because then they share it with other people. That's what happens. God gives them life and they want to share it. And then the kids, that's why they spent time raising money for clean water in Ghana in the first half of the year, so that, because they had experienced the living water of Christ and they want to share it with other people. That's why they raised toilet paper, that, and the boys and girls wanted to beat each other, right? So those two things combined, that we want to share this with people who are in need or who are lacking. They've been given the love of Christ and they want to share it with other people. So we just remember what the water tells us. God created you and loves you. You are a blessed creation of God. God wants to set you free from whatever enslaves you. God offers to save you through Jesus' work on the cross. And then in Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life, which means that we can look forward to a time when God makes all things new and gives us that living water. These promises are for you today. And you know, if you're visiting with us, and I don't know if you've been in church much or whatever, so then it's weird because I shot you with a squirt gun and then showed you pictures of people getting splashed, all that stuff. All of that to say this message, I hope the water reminds us of God's love and plan for us and for you. And I invite you to serve this Lord who is one day coming to give eternal life and to make all things new. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, amen. Would you bow your heads with me, please?